Return of the Redneck Jedi, Episode 1.
Hey man, can you pass me a beer?
Sure.
Cool, thanks. So you just got back from that Jedi Academy. Did you meet that green monkey?
Yoda? He's one badass Jedi.
I bet. Hey, you got a bottle opener?
Here you go!
Whoa. You almost took my hand off.
Sorry, man. Just trying to help out.
I know, but hey, a little warning next time. I lost my lighter. Can you give me a light?
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Welcome to Technorama. This is show number 115 for the 5th of June, and my show notes are scrolled way off track, so I don't know
sure?
where I am. I'm sure of something. I do have to give a warning, though. This podcast is recorded on the same equipment as podcasts that contain nuts. So if you have any allergies...
What?
I am your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the man with a fistful of peanuts... Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Speaking of nuts.
Haven't you read a lot of the ingredients and things on packages lately? I say, warning, this is made on equipment, on the same equipment that may contain nuts. Or yeah. Peanuts.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people have horrible nut allergies.
I'm one of them, but it's not horrible. It's just minor.
Okay.
So... Coming up on tonight's show, we have a ton of stuff. As usual, we've got a follow-up on net neutrality, quoted from AT&T. We've got someone with way too much time and money on their hands to work on Mona Lisa in an interesting way. We've got a peek at a kid's laptop, some amazing stunts by RC planes, helicopters, and you won't believe what else. Another Remember When segment, some interesting goodies in the media corner, and a metric crap load of stuff in the geek library.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, what?
Sometimes even a blind squirrel can get a nut.
Okay. Be right back.
On this day in tech history for June 5th, 2006. This is June 5th. It's the 156th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 209 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1817 that the first Great Lakes steamer, the Frontenac, is launched. Also on this date in 1866, calculations indicate Pluto reached its most recent aphelion, the furthest point from the sun, on this day. The next one will occur in August 2113. And Ernst Alexanderson sends the first facsimile across the Atlantic Ocean to his father in Sweden on this date in 1924. And it was 52 years ago that the last new episode of the comic variety program Your Show of Shows airs. 50 years ago today, Elvis Presley introduces his new single, Hound Dog, on the Milton Berle Show, scandalizing the audience with his suggestive hip movements. And it was 30 years ago today, on this date in 1976, that the collapse of the Teton Dam in Idaho occurs. 1 year later, in 1977, the Apple II, the first practical personal computer, goes on sale. On this date in 1981, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report that 5 homosexual men in Los Angeles, California have a rare form of pneumonia seen only in patients with weakened immune systems. These were the first recognized cases of AIDS. And 20 years ago today, a 52-year-old man in Auburn, Washington, United States, dies after taking Excedrin capsule laced with cyanide. This is the first of 2 Excedrin deaths. It was on this date in 1987 that Ted Koppel hosts the National Town Meeting on AIDS on a special four-hour-long live broadcast on Nightline. And 11 years ago, Bose-Einstein condensate is first created. You're going to have to look that one up on Wikipedia. It's cool. 4 years ago today, on this date in 2002, Mozilla 1.0, the first official version, is released. Happy birthday on this date in 1553 to Bernardino Baldi, the Italian mathematician. And English mathematician and astronomer John Couch Adams was born on this date in 1819. And finally, happy birthday on this date in 1900 to Denis Gabor, the Hungarian physicist and Nobel Prize winner. And that's the way it was on this day for June 5th, 2006.
You're listening to Chuck and Craig at Technorama. And I'm listening to Technorama on my library PDA.
Action. Craig smacks Shepherd up with side the head with a wet fish. Library.
I couldn't help it. They're picking on you, man. Not me.
Yeah, right.
I didn't have anything to do with that.
No, you do your share.
Oh, boy. We've got a message.
We got a couple messages.
Cool.
One is from Brian Dunbar. We were talking about the Marines, that picture you had, and the guy wearing his wool coat, and I wanted to know more about it. Well, Brian is a coworker of mine. Yes, another one. You'd think I was passing out my personal business cards at work or something.
But no, you're telling all your employees. You should call in.
He's not one of my employees. He's in the IT department. Actually, I enlisted another podcast listener at church today. He said, I listen to a lot of NPR while I walk my dog and stuff at 6 a.m. And he walks around with the FM receiver headphones. And I said, a lot of talk radio, huh? You probably like podcasts.
Yeah.
It all started when we were setting up for church. We have church outdoors in the summer now, the 9:30 service. And I said, I got that exact same mixer, the Mackie 1402 VLZ. I said, yep, that's the one I got at home. He goes, what do you have one of those at home for? Oh, boy, did he open the floodgates.
Yeah. Well,
here's a business.
And it was
card.
Like 4 o'clock by the time they got home from church.
By the time we were done, he was writing email addresses and websites and iTunes on the back of his church bulletin. It was kind of cool. Like, hooked another one. So, Dan Steele, if you're out there, Dave Steele, if you're out there listening, welcome.
And your preacher is probably looking at y'all with a tilted eye. Leave him alone. Service is still going on.
How come he's got a bigger audience than I do?
Yeah.
Yeah, but my collection plate isn't as well filled.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back to our Marines in coats, he says, from your latest podcast, the heavy black dress, blue coat thing that Marines wear is, yes, made of wool, and it does get hot in the summer. August in D.C. during the Sunset Parade was interesting. It's called, for what it's worth, a blouse.
Oh, yeah, the blue coat. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until you just mentioned
it. Blouse. Well, I know the Navy has something similar called a peacoat.
Yeah, but yeah, that's thicker. Those peacoats are thicker.
This is
his normal blues, when he calls a blouse. It's the normal blues that you see like in the commercials where they're doing maneuvers or something with the white hat and the blue jacket and the whole works. So.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay.
He was standing in the heat on that. Go look at the picture.
I was thinking he was in like something the weight of a peacoat. Going, man, August.
No, it's not quite that heavy, but okay. It is made out of wool, and it's not not exactly light, but anyway.
I always wanted a peacoat when I was in college.
Oh, they're cool.
Yeah. My son had very one. Warm. Second one we have is from Tim Johns. Not Tim, not Johns. It's Tim Johns about camera tossing. He says, "Hi, Chuck and Craig. Heard you talking about the Camera Toss blog site in the last episode. Along the same vein of stuff you never thought of, but turns out it can be kind of cool despite the premise sounding ridiculous." That's a long category name. "I came across this site from a recent posting on Dig." And he gives the whistlestopgallery.org/Matthew_Wheeler.htm. "Very interesting pictures. I actually saw this one come across Dig as well, and I kind of looked at it and went, that's interesting." What happens is this guy is he uses clear ice up in front of his camera lens, and it distorts the picture in interesting ways.
That's pretty cool. Some of it is pretty cool.
"Love the show. Keep up the great works. 101, Tim from Australia." That one's interesting as well. Some of the pictures worked really well. Some of them just look like bad photographs.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think a pinhole camera could have done a little better in some of those cases.
That's right. Now, you know, I tried my hand at camera tossing.
Yeah.
It didn't quite go as well as planned. And I did do a sound seeing tour.
Audio experiment is probably
more
better.
Air quotes. I'm doing the air quotes. So go ahead.
I'm out here. I'm going to experiment with my camera toss and see if this works. I'm kind of nervous about throwing my camera. I'm out in the street in front of my house, and well, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Oh my God, are you okay? Oh my God.
Well, we're not ready for that yet. So maybe he was calling 911. So what happened there, Craig? Anything you'd like to
I'm demonstrating the dangers of camera tossing.
Kids, everybody don't was try okay. This at home.
It was okay. The tree's all right, and the people in the car were okay. So the dog in the background lived.
You know, Craig and his studio experiments, he has a good time. Theater of the mind, baby. Now, we do have a voicemail from Bruce Barr, but we're not really sure what this is in reference to.
I think it's a wrong number, but go ahead.
I think so, too.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Chuck, you got another phone call.
Who is it?
Bruce Barr.
OnStar?
Bruce Barr.
Juice Barr?
Bruce Barr.
I don't know what you're trying to tell me. Have him leave a message.
Hey, Chuck and Craig, it's Bruce in Kansas City. Okay. All right, I really was thinking through this, and in fact, I was so excited I could barely pay attention to the rest of the podcast. So here goes. This is how I would do it, okay? Now, you know, we're not just talking just a standard little stereo, right? You got to have at least a four-channel mixer, and there's nothing to hear at the end of the coil, you know, where the tube there is, where it actually drips out. But you have to have yourself a nice electret right there close to where it falls into wherever it is that you're catching it as it comes out of the coil and is distilled, and it falls there. You get that nice plop of the droplets as they're falling in. And then here's another trick, and this is the one that I really had to think out, right? You got to worry about the heat. So you don't want to use an electret for this, but I think an SM57 would really work great down reasonably close. Watch out for that heat, right? Because it could melt. But reasonably close to the fire, so you get a nice crackle of the fire. And then you put the two, and they'd be kind of like standard, you know, large diaphragm electrets out to kind of get the ambiance of the room and the stereo effect, you know. And really, most likely, you know, you're actually in kind of a grotto where the spring water, because, you know, usually you use spring water, and that's part of what gives everything its unique taste. So you kind of get that echo off of the walls of where the spring comes out of the cliff or in a little kind of a cave, grotto kind of a thing. So now, if you have one extra channel, like if you have a five-channel, you could put an extra electret. and it wouldn't have to be large diaphragm. It could just be any kind of electret, right there where you collect everything, and it starts to go into the coil. And really close mic it, because sometimes there's some contraction of the metal coil there, and you could really pick that up really good. It would be really great. And I mean, this, I think this would be like the perfect background music for sipping some single malt. It would just be like heaven, you know? So, anyway, that's how I do it. Bye.
Bruce? What the heck are you talking about? But, hey, we got our fire. You can hear the fire roaring in the background, right? And that dripping sound?
Whatever.
Can't do it.
Fill us in, Bruce. Send us another email.
We're not sure, yeah, what the reference was on that. But, hey, yeah. Sounded cool. Maybe that was his version of the Adobe Distiller. You know, with the coil and the dripping, and I don't know.
Yeah, those are illegal. Anyway.
We have a couple of personal updates that I want to clue you in on right after this.
Yeah, so I get all this functionality. Look, honey, I'm watching a trailer off the internet.
Oh, man, I'm getting more and more eager to buy one.
When I moved it, I heard something go, guess what was in there?
Harrison, we don't get more subscribers, we're gonna fall off the list. Man. It's more complex than that. All we ask is that you tell a friend a week, and if you like Technorama, odds are they will like Technorama.
Throw us a bone here.
All right, here's the problem as I see it. I feel that the router packet on the open relay for the smart host has experienced a frame relay, causing the sniffer to broadcast a VPN protocol.
Even if you don't know what you're talking about.
I think the solution is to tunnel into the VLAN and authenticate the asymmetric encryption of the Linux client server database.
At least you can sound like you do.
That would clarify the drive image syslog to the point where the broadband switch will go binary, causing the power distribution unit to charge up the dilithium crystals, thereby causing a warp field on the BSD ARP OS 10.
How brilliant! We'll put your ideas into effect immediately!
Learn all you need to survive with In the Trenches with Kevin Devin and George Starcher. They've been podcasting since October of 04, so they're experts at sounding like they know what they're talking about.
So what about the proxy server?
Yeah, tell them I'll have a proxy with my coffee.
In the Trenches at KevinDevin.com. The podcast for system administrators and IT professionals. Or those that want to sound like them.
This is Adam Savage from Mythbusters, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
There's a reason I put in the ITT promo right there.
Yes, do tell.
Well, earlier this week, as some of you who listen to In the Trenches know, Kevin has been doing a segment that I suggested to go and interview other sysadmins and find out what they've been doing and what their big mistakes were and all kinds of fun stuff like that. Great segment, but he doesn't have a name for it yet. He's calling it the Trench Segment. So I called on his listener line. I said, hey, Kevin, here's my suggestion, yada, yada, yada. And left it at that. Figured, you know, The K7.net gods will take over. He'll get the message and I'll win my prize. A little later in the week...
mine's better than yours.
Little later in the week, I left him another message. I said, hey, Kevin, I got a suggestion. Every time you know you guys start talking, sometimes I get lost in the acronyms. You know, George is very network-centric, and Kevin is kind of system-centric, and you know, there's some overlapping, but there are a lot of people out there that are new to the show and may get lost in the acronyms, and I said, why not have like a sysadmin, an IT 101 course, explain one acronym on a show or explain one technology and go with that. And I left that voicemail. Well, I get this. I said, nothing happened. And he didn't comment on either one of them. I said, that's kind of odd because Kevin usually gives you some kind of feedback in Gmail or something. And I sent him a message. I said, did you get my K7 messages? He goes, no, I didn't. And he said, you called 206-888-4488, right? And I said, let me check. So I checked the cell phone because I've got it on speed dial. And I went, oh, there's two messages. One was from you about some ideas we had for the show. The other was from this guy called Mike. Hey, Chuck, this is Mike.
You keep leaving voicemail messages on my damn answering machine. You mind not calling anymore? I'll stick my foot up your ass, you... Whoa. He said, the number you call is 206-888-4... I thought, ooh, we got to get everybody to call that number with like Skype so you can't trace the ID.
Yeah, get this. With Skype, you know, when you call, the caller ID is 123456. There you go.
Oh, my gosh, that was funny. Kevin thought it was hysterical, too. So you probably hear a similar story on his show.
That's pretty funny.
Also found out that Mark Shepard, our loyal listener and chat room administrator and stream reflector, you know, Uber fan of many times over, checked in this afternoon. He said, I was hanging out in the KFI chat room. You know, KFI is the Los Angeles radio station that Leo Laporte does his answer guy on. And he jumps in the chat room and people recognize his name. Through me, through our show. Like, hey, Mark. He's like, is it the Mark Shepard from Technorama? And he was chatting with Leo, and we're trying to get a follow up interview from last year to find out what Leo's up to.
Means we got
to
send him up an email address now.
That'd be funny.
Shepard at chuckchat.com.
Could happen.
Yeah.
You have a story.
Yeah, last night we went on an overnighter with some family, and of course I got roped in to look at the computer. Imagine that. And I was totally caught off guard. I didn't have any of my, you know, any of my wares with me to install Linux on his Windows box. No, I wouldn't have done that. But anyway, they had Norton Internet Security, and it had just expired. Well, it kept them from visiting any secure pages, like they couldn't log into their Yahoo Mail. I tried to log into my Google Mail. No go. The firewall was blocking me because they hadn't kept up with the subscription, which kind of stinks. I hate the subscription model for software. However, we'll set that aside. But anyway, I went on the internet and I went looking for a suggestion. I searched for Norton Internet Security HTTPS. And guess what? I came across the site and I started reading it and I was like, hey, I know this guy.
A familiar
name.
It
was Welchwhite.com.
/blog.
It was an article that Douglas Welch had put up on his My Word back in, what was it, 2005 or something like that?
February of 2005, yeah.
And sure enough, I looked through the comments and there was a way to uninstall it. I did it and it worked perfect. So thanks, Douglas. I appreciate that.
Douglas E. Welch, Career Opportunities, world. The HITRA Career Handbook, is also a proud member of friendsintech.com.
That's right. So it's a small internet world.
Follow-ups from previous shows, we were mentioning the net neutrality and how they were thinking about doing packet prioritization and packet shaping to, you know, give high-paying customers more bandwidth or apparently better response on the internet than people who can't pay or are cheapskates. We've got a quote from the AT&T CEO on this subject. Tell him what he said.
He said, forget it. I ain't doing nothing.
Kiss my shiny metal ass.
He said, get off our lawn. basically, he came out and said that they're not going to make any changes to the internet. There's nothing, zero, no packet prioritization there. We can do nothing. So, I don't know. It'll come up later, I'm sure, but that's what he says.
Now, if he worked for Apple and had a CEO title and said, nope, we're not doing anything like this, count on it tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's something suspicious. I was reading that response with great skepticism.
Yeah, there's something going on there, but you know. Anyway, they got so much flack by it. I wasn't surprised that they came out and said, no, sorry. But you know, you think they'd figure that out before it went all the way to Congress. Maybe they're packet shaped and they couldn't read all the blog entries. Everybody was ticked off about it.
Well, you know how high tech Congress is, right?
In AT&T. Yeah. Well, wait a minute. They're all of a sudden, the Skype connection goes.
Whoop! Yeah. Hate it when it does that. It probably will now.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to the people in the chat room. We've got Beaker One, BJK, Bumbleroot, Mad Marv, Mark Shepard, Mysterio, Stingray, Tim Elliott, Typical Victor, and Zahadoom.
Zahadoom.
We also had Nibble in there a little earlier, and. Got some new names. Good to see fresh faces in the chat room. Everybody's making these people feel welcome. and passing on the stream address. Every once in a while, Mark throws out the good old reflector that he's giving. We also have a happy birthday to Leo Schrauen. Mentioned him earlier.
I think I did. Maybe we were offline at the time, but
yes.
Leo's birthday is June 4th.
But not on the show.
And I emailed him a happy birthday at 2 minutes to midnight Belgium time, so I got it in on the right day. Said he had a great day and spent it with family. Had a wonderful time. So, happy birthday, Leo. Leo is Yorga's dad. If you want to be on the Technorama birthday calendar, visit our listener birthday calendar on the wiki, link in the show notes, or you can go to chuckchat.com/wiki. It's under the fun and games section.
Talk about burning it at both ends.
And now the news with Craig and that other guy.
Yeah, Tomasi. You say Tomasi, I say Tomasi. Wait a minute, that didn't work right.
We got a couple of interesting ones in the news category. Tonight.
News. There's this company that was asked to. They do this for a lot of people. They were asked to produce the voice of Mona Lisa, and they also did Da Vinci as well. But they take. And at first, I was like, "Oh, this is like that crap story we heard a while back about they could." I think it was an April Fool's thing where they could look at the grooves on the thing and make a record and make an audio out of it.
Oh, like the Lazarus jar.
Yes, that was it. Duh, that was it. The Lazarus jar. Anyway, this is a little different. What they do is they take the shape of the head and approximate the skull, the throat, and everything and try to produce what the sound would be like. Of course, how do you know if they hit it or not? I don't know.
No one can disprove you, so you know. All I can think of on this one was Don Novello. If anybody listens to the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd, go back to a couple of the recent issues. Don Novello, the guy who used to play Guido Sarducci, he does Galileo on that. So all I can picture is Mona Lisa going, you know, this is a really crappy dress I got to sit here wearing. Would you hurry up and paint the freaking picture?
I'm tired of freaking smiling. So anyway, they said they had a harder time doing Da Vinci because he actually had a beard and it was harder to approximate what his face looked like under that. So
Da Vinci's cool. Up there laughing somewhere going, I came up with this picture. Yeah. It's not even a real person. Look at what these people are wasting their time on.
Yeah. No kidding.
People are idiots.
I wanted to hear what it sounded like and I went to go view it, but it said you had to have Internet Explorer 5 or greater. I told them I had Firefox, but they didn't listen.
You couldn't fool it with like the HTTP agent or something?
I didn't have time. We were screaming with it at the beginning of the show, but yes, I probably could. Stupid website.
Hey, baby, this is Mona.
Anyway, this next link we were talking about is the first video of the Working One Laptop Per Child project, and it actually is really cool. The project itself, you can go view the video. It's a little demonstration. It really functions like any other laptop. The screen's a little bit smaller, you know, squatty. But it is, I like it. It looks semi-ruggedized. It's very colorful. It has a little rabbit ears on the side where you can increase your wireless connectivity. And they also hide the audio cables and everything. I think most of the computer is housed in the screen itself when you flip it up.
Yeah, the screen was heftier. Exactly. It was heftier on top than it was on bottom, which, I don't know, make kind of ergonomically weird. They did have Fedora loaded on this thing?
What's that?
They had Fedora loaded on their demo machine.
Yes, it's coming with Linux to begin with. I think it's a version of Fedora that they state that this isn't the final version of Fedora, but they will have, you know, it'll be similar when they get done. And he talks about what is not finalized and what is. And it looks pretty cool. You can go check it out. I like it. And, you know, I was going to say was, you know, I've seen some older laptops where the screen's like really loose, like it's because it's been flipped up and down a lot.
They didn't give us a cost, though. I was kind of disappointed at that.
Yeah, they did.
What
did
they say?
They said that it's going to miss the $100 mark. However, it'll be around $130, $140. And over time, as they purchase more product for the kind of bulk they're looking at, they will get it down to the $100 mark. Oh. The $100.
Okay.
Now, commercial, that's for government and governments to be able to purchase that for their people. I think consumer wise, it's going to be a little bit more. But even if it was $200, I would consider that.
Yeah, but they want to sell it to lots of people, masses. So they got
to
make.
Plus, I'm saying for $200 for a laptop to be able to just throw it around and it has a nice handle, it's easy to carry.
Yeah,
sure, I'd do that.
$200 is a lot for like inner city kids.
No. For consumer grade, like they would just sell it off the shelf. I'm saying $200. I'm saying that they're looking at the $100 to $120 mark for governments to purchase to distribute for free.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying commercial grade, you know, $200, yeah, I'd buy that. You know, be able to carry around a lighter laptop or just, you know, something to tool around with. You know, I give it to my son.
One last thing, we didn't really know where to put this. Jorga sent me a picture of a sign. I could put it on Flickr, but it was just kind of small. It looked like a traffic sign, you know, just like a no parking sign. It said, "No parking near my house. Get your own wireless network."
Classic. I need to put one of those in my yard. Hey. I know everybody would say, "Dang a gum, you're a geek."
How to cook an egg with your cell phone. You know, if somebody just made a cell phone like that, I'd buy it.
Or make eggs.
Does it take pictures and do all this other nonsense? I've got an MP3 player.
I've got my iPod video. I'm happy with that. I'm just not a converged device guy.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah, it's got to make sense.
Damn, beat it down. Beat it.
Do you know what a Tesla coil is, Craig?
Hey, stick your tongue to this.
Oh, we lost Craig.
This is John Chatterton from Deep Sea Detectives. You're with Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
One last thing before we go into Remember When You Had.
Yes, I'm gonna hack a service here. On the way to work, there is a billboard I see every morning. It's called CharlotteSpeaks.com.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, now listen. I ride by there every day, and I just realized the other day that you can actually post messages up there for free. It's got half the billboard is a big display that has all kinds of, "Would you marry me?" You know, "Have a fun day at work." People post messages. But now here's the deal. I want to see how many of you will actually post messages on there, and I will try my best to take a picture of them on the way to work each day. I posted one that said for Friends in Tech and one for Technorama. It says, "The Geek Podcast, Technorama," you know, chuckchat.com.
Did you actually see it?
Yes, I did the next day. And here's the deal. You go to their website, they have a lot of ads on there. It's very ad-centric. Huh?
I'll say. That's all I saw.
Yeah, it's a lot of ads, very ad-centric. They even called me to confirm, you know, "Hey, you know, you just weren't just interested if you were looking for a Suzuki," you know, because it's Suzuki sponsors the whole thing. And I was like, "No, you know," I just kind of blew them off. "I'm not really, I don't have anybody that I can refer you to." But they said that they were engaging my message anyway. So I wanted to see how many people could actually do that. So you may have to tell them that you live in the Charlotte area to do this. And I will try my best to carry the camera in the front seat of the car each morning. Usually I'm stopped about that place, so it's easy to take a picture of it. But anyway, I want to see how many messages, clever messages promoting Technorama or Friends in Tech or anything, you know, like that.
What's the site?
CharlotteSpeaks.com.
Excellent. Okay. All Somebody right. in the chat room just asked. That's why.
Oh, I said it just a minute ago. But that's cool.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
Technorama remembers. And Tim from Detroit writes in. He says, "My parents' first IBM PC was a real IBM PS2. Yes, the system for which the keyboard and mouse ports are named. Model 50Z, 30 meg hard drive." Actually, you know what the Z stands for?
What's that?
Zero weight states. It was a 286 with zero weight states. Made it much, much faster.
Oh, yeah.
So we later upgraded it with a SciQuest Easy 135 drive on the parallel port. Ooh, running a hard drive off your parallel port. That's sweet.
Yeah.
I did at one time take apart a full height 5 1/4 inch hard drive, and then he gets into a couple other things. I finally understood why they measure CD-ROM bays in half heights, although I had seen a few full height tape drives, DLT, as I recall. Actually, I don't think you get a DLT and a half height because the media itself is about that height.
Oh, yeah. Actually, for a long time, I think just about every tape drive I had was full height, except for these ones I had. They were these big tapes. I forget what size they were.
The mag tapes, the big round ones?
Yeah. Yeah, they look like huge cassette tapes almost with the metal backing.
Oh, you're talking about just regular cartridge tapes like DC6150s or DC600s.
Yeah, something like that. I have to go find a picture of one. But yeah, that was the age when they started coming in. I want to say it was Tallgrass or one of those companies that Tallgrass was one that made backup tapes. It was the other one.
Archive?
I know SideQuest made something.
I don't remember.
There's a bunch of
them. He also writes, remember cutting notches in floppy so you could use the backside? We talked about that on the last show, didn't we?
Yeah. Everybody did that.
And finally says, remember, press play on tape? Ugh, forgot the bloody comma 8 comma 1.
Yeah. You know what? I did that just the other day.
I knew you would laugh at that.
I did that just the other day because I was trying to refresh my mind because it's been so long since I touched the Commodore, and I was running that emulator, and I typed in load, you know, quote, asterisk, quote, it would load the first program on the floppy. And I didn't put the comma 8, comma 1. It said press play on tape. And I fell on the floor at work. I was like, because I hadn't seen that in so long.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the media corner.
In the media corner, we've got three YouTube videos that came in. Oh, wait. No, that's down a little further, but yeah, well, it's all one segment. Those are coming up.
Just again.
Yeah. Pac-Man the Movie. This is appears to be a fan film, and the graphics on this are awesome. It looks like a real... It looks like a real movie trailer in that respect, but the acting and the costumes and things look really cheesy that... It makes it look like
this guy's wearing a motorcycle helmet.
the ethereal ghost thing is kind of cool too. You also found that there may be a potential to remake Clash of the Titans.
Yes, and Warner Brothers wants to remake Clash of the Titans for write a freaking original script. Can somebody do that in Hollywood? I doubt it.
Nope. Nope.
I mean, come on.
Nope.
I love the old one with the Kraken, you know, the whole
yep.
Perseus and the whole thing. I liked it.
I'm
even Harry Hamlin. God, man. You know, so, oh well. Here we go. Here's another great movie they're going to drag through the mud.
Yep. they're not getting any of my money. I'm a Hollywood vulture, man. I just let everybody else pick them over, and then 10 months later, I go to the video store and get the good ones.
Now, wait a minute. You're going to see Superman there, right?
Yeah, if my schedule works out. My summer schedule's a
schedule. I'm blocking off time to go see Superman.
Is that next weekend?
No, it's towards the end of the month.
Oh, okay, because Over the Hedge is next week.
No, Over the Hedge is out now.
No, which one's coming out?
Coming out now?
X-Men. No, that came out. I don't know. I'm lost, and I think we lost Craig. Craig, you kind of faded out on me. So I'll hit the old pause button for a sec. Okay, he's back. There. We didn't really lose him. No, I thought maybe AT&T was getting back for our comment earlier.
Yeah, they finally filtered the message up to the CEO. I don't know what movie was coming out next month or next week.
We'll find it out later.
Oh, wait, Cars. Cars comes out June 9th.
That's right. I knew it was another CGI one. Yeah. Moving on to books in the media corner. This is rare that we have anything about books. We've got...
And what this is the e-books. The Gutenberg Press and the World E-Book Library plan to make a third of a million. I guess that'd be 333,000. Yeah, so
333 and a third books.
They're making that many e-books available for free for a month at the World E-Book Fair, and they'll be available for download. Most of the World E-Book Library normally charges $8.95 a year for access to its database.
Yeah,
of course, the Gutenberg Project is always free. So
I was going to say, because I've read a number of those on my palm. I read a lot of Jules Verne. I read a lot of Sherlock Holmes. You know,
yeah, I got some
good
Sherlock
stuff. Holmes. I mean, there's tons of things out there that you can get for free.
It was out there saying the other day. I just heard a quote. They were saying that the Gutenberg it's such a great service because people said that they have read Shakespeare, and otherwise they wouldn't have ever gone out of their way to get it. Yeah, you know, because they got it off Gutenberg.
Yeah, if I couldn't read it on my PDA or my iPod or something, I probably would never have gotten to it. And you know, that's probably true for me in a lot of those reading too.
Actually some Sherlock Holmes. I like Sherlock Holmes. I downloaded some that I haven't seen before, you know, to read. So
finishing up the links in corner.
Wait. I do want to say something. Now, I haven't listened to them yet, but we stopped by the Dollar Tree. You know, I don't know if you've got those around where you're at.
No.
Shops where everything's a buck.
Yeah, we have like a dollar store.
Yeah, well, you know. Well, actually the Dollar Tree, I don't know if it's everywhere other than just Rock Hill, or North Carolina, South Carolina, but they had some Sherlock Holmes audiobooks, but they're $1 a piece. I thought that was a really good deal.
That's a good deal. Get them for your kids. Yeah, you can read them later.
I mean, what are you beeping at me for?
I'm beeping. Just read the message. Oh. No, if you get the books like that now, your kids will appreciate them when they're a little older.
These are audiobooks, though.
Oh, they're audiobooks. Well, they can appreciate
those,
too.
That's what I'm saying. I got the CD for $1. I thought that was a really good deal.
Put them to sleep.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was a good deal, and I was going to suggest anybody else may want to go check one of those dollar stores for something like that.
Finishing up our media links, we've got three links to Amazing RC Airplane Flying. This is the guy who won the indoor competition to radio-controlled airplane flying. This plane does some amazing things. The guy can literally make it stand on end, fly upside down, fly at right angles. It just all over the place in this gymnasium, not very large, and it's going really nuts. And if you like that one, that was from Tim in Australia, who sent us the email before. Runtime Error, who has showed up in the chat room in the last few seconds, sent us a link also on YouTube to helicopter acrobatics. And it's hard to believe this thing can stay flying. It looks like how I would fly a radio control thing without crashing. It's just upside down and crazy, flying right and left, and you know, just how the heck do they make it do that? And if that's not enough, there's an RC boat that starts skimming along the pond, two of them, a red one and a yellow one, and they're going zzz, and all of a sudden they like take off and go vertical into the air, and they're flying around, and it's not just an accident freak of nature like, oh, I caught some air. They literally start like dogfighting in the middle of the air. And when you think that's not cool enough, they start doing it on the road, and then they start doing it on a grass field. You've got to see these videos to believe them. They're really phenomenal.
I'm going to check that out.
They've engineered ailerons or something on a boat. I don't know how they did it. Because at first I'm going, oh, well, you know, a prop on a boat is pretty much like a prop on a plane. And you could use the rudder, and then it starts doing these other things that you couldn't just do with a prop and rudder. It's just really cool.
Hey, by the way, I do want to mention also that Mark Shepard had sent us a link to the Norman Rockwell Code, which is a spoof movie on the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
It is hilarious. You need to check that out. It's the detective is got he's supposed to be the son of Barney Fife. In the running joke, every once in a while you see the cop say, "We should have got that guy from Harvard." Anyway, you go check that. That's a 30-minute movie you can download you can stick it on your iPod. They have an iPod version.
Straight into the geek library.
Straight.
We're going to have to rush through these, man. We're running long tonight.
Okay, hurry up. I want to talk about, the Phoebe extension for Firefox.
This looks cool.
Yes, it's an extension for Firefox that will allow you to back up all of your extensions, themes, bookmarks, preferences, and your cookies.
Not just back them up. You can make like a little archive. What is it? What's the extension I'm looking for?
XPI.
That's it. And then you can put them on another machine. So you can replicate between machines.
Yeah,
it
takes them all, sticks them right into a folder, and you can just back them right up. So that's really cool. Yeah. Now, a UK company is making a real thin client.
This is neat.
I found this through Extra Life, which is a blog I I check out over at myextralife.com, and he has a picture of it. It's a wall plate that you could easily stick in your wall, and it's the whole PC, everything.
It's with the jacks. Like a standard 4x4 wall outlet, not the 2x2 that we usually have in the US.
It's square, like I said, a 4x4, and it has the VGA, your audio, and your USB right there, which I thought was pretty cool.
I should say 2x2. A 4-up wall outlet, 2x2.
Yeah.
4x4 would be huge. This is cool. It's got USB, and if you figure if they could use Ethernet over power, you'd have your network already in place. This thing would be cool. You could just plug in anywhere in the house and have internet access. Now, granted, it's not high-end graphics and things, so you won't be able to be playing games on it, but if you just wanted to hook a keyboard and a screen in, hey, why not? Or if they could use some kind of USB dongle to make it wireless.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for me, I think it looks cool, but I don't know if I'd really get one, because I think using wireless and having some Cat 5 in the house is plenty. You know, because I don't have a computer. I don't need to stick a computer in the wall. But if you're watch the mic. if you're constrained for space, I think that's an awesome idea.
Another site found was Found Photos. This is interesting. Yeah.
Now, I subscribe to this blog website, and what it is this guy had started off. He found a camera with some pictures on it that were undeveloped. Now, the camera was old as dirt. And he didn't know these people, couldn't contact him or anything. So they kind of make up little stories for these found photos. And they can be photos you found in the street, in an antique shop. And some of them just look really cool. People just having a good time, you know, posing with different things, just like your regular family photos. But they're really old. And it's cool to see how people dressed and how they handled themselves back then. And they kind of, like I said, they embellish and make stories to go with the pictures.
It's also interesting to look. I just found myself gazing at these faces from, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. Looking at them going, what kind of stories do these people have to tell that no one is ever going to know about? It seemed like this lost history that was disconnected. It was just very, I found it profound. Some of the images were actually very good. Some just look like, weekend snapshots that I took when I was 10 years old. But
You can see that's the whole point of people making up the little stories to kind of go along with it. You know, like, this is Aunt Eunice, and we were out there at her house for, I just noticed something.
What?
I'm looking at one of these pictures. There's three women there and a man, and there's a dog standing there, and everyone has two legs except for one woman.
Really? The dog ate it.
I just noticed that. So apparently, she does have her arm around. Everybody's got their arms locked. So, cool.
Now we're running really long. So,
all right, here I'm gonna run through these real quick.
Yep.
I got a link for a first person shooter in your browser.
Interesting.
Over at evolt.org, I found the browser archive for every browser version of every browser you can find.
They didn't have my favorite, the beta release of Netscape 0.9. Was probably one of my favorites.
Do you have it?
I don't have it, so I can't contribute. Well, then,
don't complain.
I used it on Unix at the time.
Now, this last one was the last minute link I threw in here, and this is the Bellagio. You know, the fountains out front.
The fountains.
They recreated
in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and they recreated it with Diet Coke and Mentos.
Which we've seen on YouTube. I think we had a link in there a few weeks ago, and also when you look at that. Carrie from the Mythbusters, that site we posted in the last show, she was doing that on the video as well.
Oh, she was?
Yeah.
I didn't want to be paying attention to that.
Think the umbrella scenes. That's what she was doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, someone's got, again, too much time and money if they're making the Bellagio fountains out of 200 2-liter bottles of
that's
Coke.
Expensive.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get out of here.
I can afford two or three of them.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get out of here, we also have tons and tons of cool links from Mad Marv. He submitted dozens of things, and I started going through these again and went, wow, good stuff, hey, Marv. Really appreciate it. If we're ever hard up for material, there it is. Hey,
one link that caught my eye that he had in there was the robot that can pour beer. Yay, robots.
Bender can do that.
Yeah, I can.
Before we go, we want to make sure that you send us some pictures. I'm doing a presentation at the Podcast Expo at the end of September. I think we've mentioned that before. And I want a picture of you
candid, you know, in front of your computer, you know, your arm around your honey, just personal pictures that it doesn't have to be posed. It doesn't have to, just take a picture, send us a picture, whether you know you think it's good or not, just something that it's, we want very human presence on this presentation. Mm-hmm. So send
preferably
those
clothed.
Yeah, that would work. Otherwise, we'll put black bars where things should be. Also, the Friends in Tech are having a, what do they call it, QBR? QCR? I can't remember the acronym now. Shame on me. But we're having a friendly competition. Craig's not going to say anything because he's part of this competition. And
no, I'm going to say something. Hey, and you can go, you go vote for any anybody. Not vote, but go to iTunes and fill out a
review.
A review for any of our shows and make it a good one, please. And do that for Technorama, Valid Syntax, and nothing else.
And Gmail Podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's it. And Toko PC user and Mac user. And, and I go do it for anybody.
It's a friendly competition, and we just want to get some reviews out there so people can, you know, see there is some traffic. Doesn't matter how many everybody started with. You know, In the Trenches may have had 10. We're all starting effectively with net zero at, not that net zero, but zero as of June, and we've got until the end of June, and fortunately, we're a twice-a-week show, so we can bug you twice as much.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Johnny, tell them.
All right, and here's how to contact us. You can call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck Tomasi at chuck@chuckchat.com. Please send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. Email Craig Stepp, that's K-R-E-G, at chuckchat.com. And for the only constant in the universe, please visit www.chuckchat.com for forum, swag, webcam, mailing list, links to the show notes, and much, much more. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. To find out more about Friends in Tech, visit friendsintech.com. Audio streaming provided by Scott Reynolds. Chat room provided by freenode.net. If you're getting this show by clicking on the link on the website, please consider subscribing and get the show delivered automatically to you free of charge. Drop either Chuck or Craig an email if you would like more information on how to do that. Tell a friend about Technorama and spread the love. Back to you guys.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thanks, man.
Craig!
Yes, sir?
I think it's time to boogie out of this popsicle stand.
It's time to say goodnight. All right, well, y'all have a good one, and we appreciate it.
We do? Yeah, don't forget those reviews, pictures for the expo. We appreciate everybody listening. Until next time, take care. Take pictures. Take NyQuil.
What?
I don't know.
Make some reviews and go to charlottespeaks.com. I want to see some messages up there.
Oh, yeah, the billboard. I want to see that, too.
Hang it. I'm going to try to take pictures. I'll do my best. I'm driving.
And if anybody calls...
Well, everybody else is on cell phones, so why not?
Send them to Mike's voicemail at 206-888.
Yeah. All right.
Binary high five.
101.